Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. I'm Rod Babers hanging out with Kevin Dunn. Man, John Rackle back there twisting and tweaking the dials. Is this Bruno Mars?
This is Bruno Mars, yeah.
I actually don't know the song. I recognize the voice, but I don't know the song.
Yeah, this is Calling All My Lovelies, Bruno Mars. I just like how I like the tempo of it.
The ladies love Bruno.
Is he good?
Bruno is immensely talented. Like, he is freaky talented. Man.
Okay.
And
this isn't my type of music, but I've heard enough about him that he sounds like he's pretty talented.
And I think John can attest to this. This is directed at the ladies, for the ladies.
This is the ladies, yeah. I'm trying to swoon all three of our lady listeners here right now.
he's got some good party jams, like just some feel-good jams for the guys out there, too, though. But, yeah, mostly the ladies love Bruno, but I think he's really talented. The mood is, or at least the theme, is a summertime state of mind, I believe.
That's right.
Man, John. And we're trying to get in a summertime state of mind, trying to get you there too. John doing a good job DJing us in and out of breaks. All right. Let's talk some NBA. I guess the big NBA story, and other than the NBA playoffs, which we'll get to, because I want to talk about the Nets and the Bucks. That's a series that everybody was looking forward to. Already had game one. Nets won game one.
This is going to be competitive, right? I was looking forward to this series.
I thought it was going to be competitive. I still think it is. I mean, it's just, you know, the Nets won the first game, but they won it without James Harden.
Yes.
And that worries me and concerns me a little. I thought that James Harden going down would have made it a more even series, and that would have given the Bucks a bit of an advantage. But the fact that, you know, Kyrie, this is the beauty of what the Nets have in their formula. You know, Harden is the distributor. You know, he's the point guard, essentially, for the Nets. They use Kyrie as the shooting guard, and KD is, you know, the shooting forward, but he can play almost anything he wants to, any matchup that he wants to get.
Much more likable Harden, I think you pointed this out, in terms of his game. So
yes.
If you don't like Harden and his attitude and,
you just
the way
don't
he
like
looks
the beard.
Like he doesn't care about anything, then I get you.
But the ISO ball of him and D'Antoni,
it's
that's
more the
done.
OKC where
yes, it is.
I'm going to show you just how good of a passer I am.
Yeah, I think he actually has unlocked a different dimension of his game. I'm with you. I think his game was, it was easy to dislike his game, and people would often conflate that and dislike James Harden. So, no, you hate his game.
You have Houston underwear on right now, and Rod showed me during the break.
No.
Christy, HR, you will be getting an email, maybe a visit. And you would come in and say, God, I love the Rockets. God, it's hard to watch sometimes.
No, I was just, his game was hard to watch because
it
wasn't aesthetically pleasing. You know, it wasn't, it was basically him manipulating officiating, which is still genius in its own way, and being able to get any type of shot he wanted. But he would do that. He would, you know, reset the pick and roll to do it. And if he didn't reset the pick and roll, then he was going to drive. And if he didn't get what he wanted during the drive, he was going to initiate contact. And then he was going to throw up something crazy or trying to get the assist to make a three. It was so repetitive over and over again. Effective. But the offense was just the same offense over and over again with the Rockets. It is not that way with the Nets. It has unlocked him as a player. He really does look like he is enjoying sharing the basketball and being the catalyst for everything. But he went down. But when he goes down, they don't miss a beat because Kyrie can just take over the point guard duties, which he doesn't mind because most of his career he was forced to be in the point guard anyway. He just prefers.
Kyrie's game's more likable right
it
now.
It is. All the games are more likable. Well, KD's game was always likable. He's just an assassin.
You can get on KD for other stuff. His game has always been.
It's silky smooth.
If you don't like watching it, you don't like basketball and move on.
Yeah. No, he's a slim reaper for a reason. I always love that nickname.
The
Durantula was another good one. I think my man Chip Brown threw that one out there. But anyway, I digress. What I do think is good for the Bucks, though, and we'll get to the Mavs here in just a second, I know people want to hear about the Kristaps Porzingis news. What I think is interesting, though, for the Bucks in this game, too, if they have prepared and planned for the matchup without James Harden, I do think schematically they can throw bodies and they can throw different looks at Kyrie, maybe not to stop him, but to frustrate him and neutralize him.
Yeah.
And they do have Giannis, who is arguably the freakish, most effective defensive stopper in the league. Throw him on KD. I know they did it a little in game one, but probably not as much as they should have. Maybe this is the game you decide, nah, I'm going to put Giannis on KD. You can't afford to go down 2-0 in this series. If you do, I think the series is over at that point against a team like the Nets.
Yeah, and then you still...
Especially with James Harden.
And by saying you may have James Harden coming back, so this is the time to take advantage of it. I like it. I like your move. I think they would pull him out, and that's okay, and that way he can't do so, because he is such a versatile defender. He can protect the rim. He can do stuff in the paint, and he can do stuff away. The biggest thing for me is his length could bother Durant a little bit. And then at that point, if Kyrie kills you and they're feeding Blake Griffin and it's guys like that, I'm not putting Kyrie with Blake Griffin. Yeah. Make Kyrie beat you with
which
Harden,
he can.
He can with Harden out, and then make some of those other guys beat you.
Yep.
And hope that you limit Durant. And the best way to do that, I think, is to get the Greek Freak involved defensively.
I know, and I know what some people said, it's going to have an adverse effect on his offense. That's a chance you have to take.
It's a chance the Clippers had to take.
It's a chance the Clippers, same thing they did, right? When Kawhi and Luka, you're right. It's a great comparison there, because Mike Budenholzer, listen, what's the old saying? Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I know George W. messed it up, but that's a really
tough... The point
is,
you can't fool me.
Can't get fooled again. And I would say, that is really hard to get that saying right, if you're saying it quickly.
I've tried to... I've had fun with that and mocked it, and then I'll get it confused, and I'm like, you know what? I get GW on that.
Yeah, exactly. It is really tough.
You can say what you want about both of our IQs, but... That's not that easy.
You never had a shoe thrown at you, though, did you?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, Jubby had a shoe thrown at
you.
Not yet, anyway. But what Budenholzer learned in that bubble, and we learned with the disappointing loss to the Raptors in that 2018-19 season when Kawhi was there, they didn't put Giannis on Kawhi in that 2019 season. They lost that series as a result because they didn't want to take the chance on having him defensively have to exert too much and then having an adverse effect on his offense. Same thing with the Jimmy Butler situation they had in the bubble. They didn't put Giannis on Jimmy Butler. Probably should have did that too, at least at times, to try to neutralize him. They did that. In their last series they had against Miami this postseason, they put Giannis on Jimmy Butler at times. He was 3 of 12 when he faced off against Giannis as the primary defender because he's just so long and lanky and athletic. He's going to give anybody problems, probably anybody except KD. So you got to take that chance. You got to put Giannis on him.
No problems.
Well, exactly, because he's a freak. But if anybody's going to stand a chance at doing it, it will be Giannis. You got to do that, man. And then just take your chances with Kyrie. Throw bodies at him and throw looks at him, and hopefully – you can still, you know, pull out a game 2 win. If they don't, I think the series is over. They go down 2-0.
You think it's over?
To the Nets, I think it's over.
And then at that point, they may play this thing out to where if they get up 3-0, we'll just let Harden rest.
They probably would.
Until we move on.
Oh, I totally agree.
And I wouldn't blame them. So, tonight is really important. I had hopes for this series, especially with the way the Bucks went through the Heat. We know they had problems the year before, and... Look, basketball is all about matchups. I get that. And trying to match up with this Nets team is not fun at all. But with Harden out, I'm with you. Hopefully they do that and move in that direction. Quickly, before we get to Porzingis and the Mavs, let me tell you about Dr. Brent Brotzman. If you're dealing with an injury, ankles, knees, or feet, you got to go see the top orthopedic doctor and surgeon in town. That is Dr. B, Dr. Brotzman. 25 years of private practice experience. He's written the only orthopedic book to originate out of Austin. In fact, he's written 4 of those. It's required reading for a lot of training programs. Get online, get on Yelp, and you'll see some of the reactions to this all over the globe. People would die to live in Austin just to have Dr. Brotzman so they can go see him and get his professional advice on what to do, especially if it's ankles, knees, or feet. If you have to get surgery done, go in and see him. It's a one-stop shop. You don't have to drive all over town. I got my x-rays there. Then he got me going, and my ankles felt so much better because of that. Stem cell shots, PRP shots, all that stuff. 512-977-0000. It's 512-977-0000, or it's BrotzmanSportsMedicine.com. I bet you Porzingis has seen a couple orthopedic doctors in his time.
Yes, he has.
He's been injury
too
prone.
Many.
Yeah, exactly. You go back to New York, and he flashed a lot. He showed some things where I can understand the Mavs saying, we're going to bring him in, a big guy who can stretch it out a little bit to go with our guy Luka. But, Rod, he has not been a number 2. He has not been a Batman. You know that world a lot better than me. I'm not sure what he would be, but... Porzingis has, whether it's coaching, I think a lot of it's on him. He came out after the game and he was asked when it was over with Sunday, how he fits in with the Mavericks going forward. He said, quote, good question. How do I feel? I mean, I'm good. I tried to put in the work, tried to work hard. I do my part, listen to the coaches, what I'm asked to do, and that's it. End quote. He went on to say that he's trying to keep it simple. He's trying not to overthink it. But there's definitely frustration. Mm-hmm. It does feel like it's either Carlisle or Porzingis that goes. Porzingis has all the money wrapped up into him. But this experiment with him as the number two doesn't seem to be working after the Game 7 loss to the Clippers.
Yeah, it's, I guess, if he's now going to be Robin, because that was Batman's number two, maybe he's Commissioner Gordon. Maybe he's Alfred the Butler. Would often
that
help
goes
out
to
Batman.
Show you, I was even putting Batman as the two next to Superman. It's been a long time since I've looked at that.
Oh,
world
you mean
at
like
all.
Oh, Justice League?
But yeah,
you Justice think about
League.
Justice League? But then yeah, Justice League.
No, but you're right. Robin's the number two.
Kristaps Porzingis would get kicked out of the Justice League right now. He would not be allowed. Right?
He's about as tough as Robin on the court.
Hey, Robin was pretty tough, man.
Oh, Robin
Come
was
on.
A pansy, and we all know it. At least the Superman stuff and Batman stuff,
man.
I was watching.
No, but
35 years ago,
I think you're right. The concern now is that he isn't adequate enough. Not that he's a scrub or anything. He's not a jag. He's actually still reasonably productive and serviceable. But when you're paying him the type of money they're paying him, with the expectation that you are going to be second to Luka. And by the way, it would help if Luka wasn't playing like the greatest NBA player we've seen. The greatest young NBA player we've seen in the last 20 years since LeBron, right? It would help if he wasn't playing at that kind of level. But unfortunately for Kristaps Porzingis, Luka's playing at such a high level, almost averaging a 30-point triple-double in that series. Hell, he might have, actually. I got to go look at the stats. Almost averaging a 30-point triple-double versus the Clippers in that first series, that everybody's looking at Kristaps Porzingis and saying, man, you're 12 to 15 points you're going to contribute to the competition here is not enough. And I think when you start
not
looking,
when you're paying them what you're paying them.
Yeah, so like the expectation level and what they're paying them, you know, it doesn't match up, doesn't add up. So I think that's the concern right now with Kristaps Porzingis. And Dallas Morning News is reporting that he and Rick Carlisle, whatever they have going on, this tension, it's untenable. Like, whatever is going on, like, there's no way they're going to be able to resolve the conflict unless one of them goes. Some people think that should be Carlisle because Carlisle has been there a long time.
I'd talk to Luka first.
And they've got, what, 8-7 first-round exits since he's been there? Luka likes Carlisle, but Luka also likes Kristaps Porzingis. They're really good friends.
Good point.
They go hang out.
How's that going to play out?
Yeah, right? They ain't got off the court together a ton. That's his BFF. So how is he going to handle that? How does he like the – which one does he want to stick around more? I have no idea if you're the Mavs what you do with this. At least you got Luka. So everything else is a first-world problem, truth be told.
It is. You're right, because you can always build off that. Luka's going to sign that Supermax this summer. He has said he will. Luka had 46, 14 assists, and 7 rebounds. He didn't get enough help. Tim Hardaway only had 11 and was 1-for-9 from beyond the arc. Finney Smith chipped in 18. Finney Smith can be that 3-and-D guy for them, but you got to make sure he's almost your fourth-best player. And on the court, it felt like he was the second-best player. Porzingis, 0-for-5 from beyond the arc, 16 points. And it just doesn't feel like he organically fits in with how they're doing this. We talked about early in the series how he was just hanging out around the three-point line, Rod. And a game or two after that, he started to cut, and he had a couple finishes, couple dunks. And I thought, all right, that you know, you're at least using your body, and if you're not going to be out there shooting threes, at least you're cutting, at least you're kind of helping out, and guys were creating for him. But if you can trade him, look, they got the trade in 2020 from the Knicks, and most people thought that Dallas won that trade.
Yeah,
and it made sense at the time that they would have won that. If you can ship him, and Luka's not going to go 2021 NBA petulant baby on you, which I don't think he will. And goes more like Jordan with Oakley, and it's like, all right, well, if it's my best friend, but if it's better for the team, then I'm still going to play here because I'm a professional.
Find him a Pippen, then.
You got to find the perfect guy or a better guy to complement Luka as a number two than Porzingis, because he's just not it.
Yeah, and the crazy thing about it, the Clippers don't have a dominant center matching up with him or anything.
No, that's why the Mavericks went big.
Yeah, exactly.
Bobon and Porzingis.
Thought you had the advantage there in the matchup.
But how big is Porzingis when he's hanging out around the three-point line?
That's true, too. Yeah, he's not aggressive enough. So that's my concern is that, yeah, you're not even going up against a really elite-skilled big man, and yet Kristaps Porzingis still can barely make an impact on the game. Maybe they just chose the wrong guy. I'd hate to say that.
I think they did.
It happens sometimes. But now the trade value. What do you get for that contract and his production level? You're not going to get much for that. That's also a concern.
You're not going to get much. He's actually been on the court a lot more than I thought he would be. I questioned Porzingis after coming from New York. Is this guy going to be, like, how often is he going to be able to play? And he's had some injury problems, but at least he's been on the court. What I would try and sell is, look, it's a bad fit for us. You're getting a guy that tall that can shoot threes. He's got the range, whether he's as consistent as you want. But he's a guy that, like you saw in New York, if it's really built towards his skill set, he can be really damn good offensively.
What kind of first-round draft picks, future first-round draft picks, do the Mavs have?
Does it matter?
Yeah, it does. That's okay. How you trade away a ton of first-round draft picks, go get you a superstar.
Go get you a guy.
So a young superstar already under contract.
Yeah.
I don't know who that could be, but, you know, I think that, like, Oklahoma City, it's a crazy stat. Oklahoma City has 17, like, first-round draft picks. Up until the year 2026.
Mm-hmm.
This is just some freaky, crazy number. He's like, oh, that can't be real. No, it's real. They actually have that many. So I'm just saying, if you're the Mavs, and I know some teams out there, they really covet future first-round draft picks, how many do you have? And right now, it's worth it to trade away first-round draft picks to go get you a star for Luka.
Yep.
Because there's, you know, I mean, like, right, your time to win now is while Luka is playing at such a high level. You're probably going to have that for the next 5 to 8 years, but go get you another young superstar so you can start that championship window quicker. Like, you're right there. Now you're on the cusp of it.
Well, and as you said earlier, you've got the toughest thing, which is to get someone you can truly build around, right? And they've got that with Luka. I mean, props to them for scouting and for making the trade with the Hawks. Look, all you got to do is build around that. That's still hard, as they found out with Porzingis, and you may guess a little bit and end up being wrong when the rest of the basketball world says, hey, that's a pretty good trade. But I don't know. I've seen enough with Porzingis that unless they change something, so maybe it is bringing in a new coach that will change it up a little bit, it's not working with Kristaps.
Yeah, it's – oh, man. Okay, so Oklahoma City, first-round draft picks, 3 in 2021, 2 in 2022, 4 in 2023, 3 in 2024, 3 in 2025, 3 in 2026, and 1 in 2027.
Okay.
You're not going to be able to pay all those damn first-round draft picks you bring in. What are they going to do with all of them?
No.
Well, they should have a great young roster in like 3 years.
The way the draft is now, we'll go to the G League.
Exactly. Like, what are you going to do with all those picks? So I'm just saying, I would trade. You know, the NBA doesn't care about, most teams don't care about future first round draft picks. If I'm the Mavs, man, I'm looking around the league trying.
That was my point earlier. There's not much value in them.
Yeah, they don't. Exactly. The league doesn't care about them as much.
And the Rockets would have told you
that. Exactly. So if I'm the Mavs, trade away future first round draft picks. I got to go look and see how many they got, but I trade away some just to. Get me a superstar with Luka, man. And you may have to do that when you trade away Kristaps. You may have to, I know it sounds crazy, you may have to trade away capital just for people to take
just
that contract.
Just take the money.
Yeah, right. People are not going to take that contract with his injury history either.
Fair point. We do have Bucks and Nets coming up here in a little bit. Let's get back to some baseball. We do have, finally, an opponent for Texas in the Super Regional. We'll tell you who it is up next.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. Summertime State of Mind Monday. My man John Rackle back there twisting and tweaking the dials. This is most definitely a Summertime State of Mind song.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Oh, man. I gotta tell you, I haven't heard this song in so long, and I don't know why. Because it's such a great song.
It's a great song.
But people don't play it as often as you think. I guess because it's just so old, but... Damn, forget how cold Biggie was. The lyrics, man. Unbelievable. But Gangsta Love Song, though.
Yeah.
Like, this is his version of a Gangsta Love Song. You know what I mean?
Mentioned earlier. This is a classic.
Exactly.
Hey, speaking of old, I was an old man and excited about this Underdog Fantasy. I gave the wrong website there. It's get to Underdog. Underdog Fantasy. I think I said Underground. So
Underdog.
It's a new one. Yeah, dude.
Like the superhero dog?
You would love this. Because it's for us where it's really easy to play, and it's not some of the stuff where you're just thinking, oh, my God, this is too much for me.
Underdog. So,
UnderdogFantasy.com.
Okay. What sets it apart, though?
What sets it apart is that you don't have to do all this trading. So you know me. I've played fantasy and fantasy football, baseball.
Yeah, fantasy baseball. You guys were obsessed with
it. And I treat it like a full-time job.
It was an everyday thing. You guys would come in here.
I'm getting trade requests. There's none of that. There's no trading. You sign up. You do it at your own leisure, at
that's
your
my
own time.
Stuff.
I'm telling you.
Yeah.
I'm going to get you hooked up.
No. That's my, because I remember you guys were doing that like a league hero at the station, right? You didn't have a baseball.
It was exhausting.
It was exhausting. Every show would be talking about lineup changes and these random references.
It was bad radio, too. Yeah.
Well, no, you guys were on and off the radio. You guys were talking about it.
Right.
I'm like, man, these guys are putting in a lot of work. But see, I like that. I like the sound of the Underdog Fantasy
easy way to do it.
That's what I'm about, man. I'm working smarter, not harder.
Well, you realize that when you get older, don't you?
Trust me, I'm trying to do more of that in my life, trying to get to Jeff Bezos' level of working smarter, not harder.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it'll take a while.
I'm trying to get Jeff Bezos' wife, and I mean that literally. I'm trying to get to her if I can get to her, or I mean that I'm trying to do what she did.
She is
I'm
like
trying to marry a really rich woman.
I want to say she's like top 25 still richest people in the world.
Like that.
Even like literally just within the divorce still. She was like top 30.
Good for her.
Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. I'm with you. It's
good for her.
Yeah. Good for them. All right. Good for us here because we do know now who Texas will play in the Super Regional.
Yes, we
do. Yeah, we do. We know who's going to come on down here to Austin and get that butt whipped.
Charlie Strong gave a pre-regional.
Why Charlie Strong always getting the shot here? Random shot.
BK
come on.
Was giving him the shot. I am giving him some love.
Come on.
He talked with the team even though he's not there anymore.
Exactly. Well, he's still technically in Florida because he's in Jacksonville.
He is. So. He did a wrestling bit. And they bought the 4 seed. South Florida beat South Alabama 6-4. That was a hell of a game, too. Was able to watch a lot of that while I was doing the show.
Yeah, you hooked it up here on the screen. I was watching it, too.
Yeah, I had it on the screen. And South Florida is a really good team, man. So they are coming to Austin. We'll find out exactly when that is for the Super Regional. But it'll be the Bulls and the Horns.
Nice.
This is a steer type of game.
I was going to say the Bulls and the Horns.
Yeah.
I thought if you mess with the bull, you get the Horns.
14th NCAA appearance for South Florida. This is their first Super Regional trip. They're definitely going to be a Cinderella. They were 30-28, so they're 31-28 now, Rod. Once again, I will say it. This is setting up well for Texas. Texas should get to Omaha. It's baseball, so we never know what happens. They should get to Omaha, and once they get there, they should win every game by 10 runs. That's what I'm predicting, including if they play Arkansas or Vanderbilt. No, I'm not predicting that. But I do think that this sets up for them to go for their 37th time pretty nicely.
Yeah, the expectations, I think they are at the point now where anything other than wins in Omaha.
Yep.
Multiple wins in Omaha would be a disappointment for Longhorn baseball fans.
That's kind of where I'm at.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Honestly, it's a testament to the young men. And
no,
how well
is.
They played.
Right.
It's not.
By the way, these weren't our expectations 3 months ago.
I don't even think they were expectations.
A month ago.
Yes. I would say a couple of weeks ago, I think Longhorn fans were like,
being fluid with it, then probably not.
Yeah. Put like this, at the end of the season and then right after the Big 12 tournament, I don't know if the expectations were where they are right now.
No, because I think a lot of people were understandably worried.
They were worried. Yeah.
I've been worried throughout this year at times. As you know, I wasn't as worried with the conference tournament.
You thought they struck out a lot, but
I'm not.
Teams don't prioritize the conference tournament as much, so you weren't concerned about
that. No,
they
don't.
I will give you that.
And this Texas team, they just look so damn good. So they will be getting South Florida, and the winner of that regional will take on the winner of the Notre Dame-Mississippi State regional in Starkville in terms of game one in Omaha. So pretty damn excited about this, man.
All right, something else. I don't know if you're excited about this, but this is a crazy story. So I got it from, at first I saw an article on ESPN, which we'll get to in just a second. But then probably an hour later, I saw Buster Olney tweet out at Buster underscore ESPN, just filed to ESPN. This was tweeted out this past weekend on Saturday, the 7th. Just filed to ESPN. Under the plan being swiftly advanced through Major League Baseball, umpires will be repeatedly and randomly checking pitchers for foreign substances in a push that could begin within 2 weeks. Estimates are there could be at least 8 to 10 checks per game as pitchers depart games. If you haven't, you might have read this.
Are we trying to speed up the game?
Yeah, that's a great point.
Just checking.
But no, that's a great point, though. I mean, they've been talking about that for a while. That was the number one priority. Now there's a different priority.
I'm not, but they are, and I understand why they are.
Yeah.
Because I'm not your
typical baseball fan.
I'm already in.
You'll watch a five-hour game and not complain about it.
Yeah, I was watching Florida or Vanderbilt and Georgia Tech last night.
Exactly.
And the play-by-play guy, I could tell, he's like, he kept on saying stuff like, get me out of here. This is way too long.
Come on, this is way too long.
Oh, come on.
This is borderline punishment, guys, at this point. Like, let's just go.
So baseball's trying to do that, and I get it.
Yeah, and it's at every level.
Yes.
They want that to happen. Well, there was a expose written up at Sports Illustrated by Stephanie Epstein and Alex Pruitt.
Okay.
Here is the – I'll give you the headline. This should be the biggest scandal in sports. The inside story of how rampant pitch doctoring in Major League Baseball is pumping pitchers up and deflating offenses.
Hmm.
I'll just read a little bit from it to start out. It said they go over all these different instances within the National League and the American League of teams anonymously, because they don't put any names on it, giving their stories of how they came in contact with a ball that had been doctored by a pitcher.
And they've been doing this for a long time with it, not only this, and this isn't really scuffing it as much as it is more pine tar and the concoction that this Angels equipment guy had been supplying all types of people, not just Angels, all across baseball to try and get better grip.
Do they know what's in it? The concoction? Yeah, they know what's in it?
They've got a
pretty good idea. Is pine tar a part of it?
Pine tar is a big part of it, but this guy apparently mastered it to where even Garrett Cole, who's never pitched for the Angels, they have him texting him. I mentioned this briefly on the radio months ago when the investigation kind of came down. Mm-hmm. I remember that.
Yeah, I do.
Because I said, well, Garrett Cole never pitched for the Angels. And Garrett Cole was texting him saying, hey, man, we're going to be going, we're heading to some cold weather, and I need your stuff if you don't mind. So there were pitchers all over.
Is he selling it? Or is it just
I hope he's getting something for it.
A quid pro quo kind of thing.
You seen Garrett Cole's bank account?
That's what I'm saying. Like, I wonder if that is more of seen as something that's frowned upon. That
maybe
from a team is selling to other teams. I don't know. Anyway,
so quickly,
crazy man.
Here's the funny thing. We've never seen velocities like this, and I've told you that.
Yeah, yeah.
That a lot of these batters are okay with it, especially if they're using it because they're sweating too much, and because if you're going to be throwing 98, 99, I actually want you to have control of it.
That's a great point. Yeah, so I'm going to get hit in the face.
Yeah.
Hit in the jaw or something.
Yeah, I don't want to die.
No, I'm with you. That's a great point, too. See, that's why I'm sure there are differing opinions about this thing from those who are more traditional baseball fans and those who are novice. One person, or at least one former pitcher in this piece, estimates that 80 to 90% of pitchers are using some substance in some capacity, which is pretty wild. One of the write-ups here says, an excerpt from this piece says, one ball made its way into an NL dugout last week where players took turns touching a palm to the sticky material coating it and lifting the baseball adhered to their hand into the air without corralling it with their fingers. Just,
whoa.
Yeah, it was that sticky. He said another one corralled it in a different NL dugout, had clear enough fingerprints indented in the goo that opponents could mimic the pitcher's grip. And a third one, also in the NL, was
all
so
right, that's
sticky.
Too much.
Yeah, said this one was so sticky that when an opponent tried to pull the glue off, 3 inches of seams came off with it.
You're kidding me.
This is from the piece.
Okay, that's
that they wrote
up. That's way too much. I hate to be like this, but usually you want to be absolute and be black and white with cheating or stuff like that.
Wow.
Now, this is more like speeding for me, Rod.
Okay? Everybody's doing it to a certain extent.
Everyone's doing it to a certain extent, but if you're doing 130 down 360 here in the cop pool, you should go to jail.
You go to jail if you're doing like...
You shouldn't be doing 130.
Yeah, yeah. You might go to jail if doing something like that. Yeah, you're right, though. I agree with you. I think... That's, so, how are they going to enforce this?
Like, I have no idea.
Do they check it before the game and during the game? That's going to make for, like you said, that's going to slow the game down a ton.
It's going to slow the game down, and then...
And who... Can I...
Someone's going to get hit with 100, and that'll probably change everything.
Can I call to check a glove as an opposing manager? Can I go check it?
Yes,
I want to check.
Yes, you can. And okay. That's already been going on.
That's already
going on. Where I've already seen people go out and say, let me see your hat. Let me see what's under your hat. Let me see your glove.
Okay.
And kind of let me just see what what you have there. But... It's one of those things that's been allowed for a long time. And so these guys are used to it. I mean, it gets back to baseball. And one of the things I love about it, and one of the things that's certainly frustrating about it, certainly for people that aren't into the sport, they're just like, well, what's legal and what's not?
The unwritten rules.
Unwritten rules?
Yeah, they've really kind of mucked everything up.
And these aren't the stupid unwritten rules that a new generation is breaking. These are rules that I understand, unwritten rules, why I understand why they're unwritten. And I understand why you let some people to some degree get away with it. You should let all people to some degree get away with it. But then what is that degree where it goes over the top?
Yeah.
And the three examples you just gave right there.
Over the top.
Way over the top.
Yeah. Are these substances being used in college?
Yes.
They have to be if they're using them in the pros.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff that goes on in college is actually going on in the pros, but you keep it a little quieter.
Yeah, not get as much attention.
Not get as much attention. Good stuff right there. Anytime Rod brings me a baseball story, you know I'm
happy. It's fascinating, man.
We'll be back to wrap it up and tell you what's on tap up next.
Pop a top again.
You mind if I have some of your tasty beverage to wash this down?
Oh, yeah. I've been known to drink a beer or two.
I think a man working outdoors feels more like a man if you can have a bottle of suds. It's only my opinion, sir.
I got beer.
I got bottled breast milk.
Why don't we start with the beer?
Okay.
It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Wait, it's already 5 o'clock here. It's time for What's on Tap.
How about a nice cool drink?
That's really
man,
good.
That's good.
Pop a top again.
Welcome back to the Triple Option with RBKD. Just a couple of minutes left in the show, and then we're done for the day. Before we get done, I got to let you know, go to hornfm.com. You can catch up with any of the shows you may have missed on the podcast page there. And we got to let you know what's on tap tonight. KD, you, brother, what's up first?
Bucks-Nets.
Bucks-Nets.
Just got started. Kyrie with a three to get it going. 3-0, obviously, very early on. DBU trying to get to... believe their first, maybe their second super regional ever. They're up 8-5 on Oregon State. Oregon State batting with two on in the top of the ninth, trying to keep this thing going. But that would be a big win for Dallas Baptist. Ground ball to short, 6-4. That is it. Dallas Baptist will advance. And then watching Arkansas-Nebraska. Nebraska is up 2-0 after three. Woo! Put the pressure on that number one overall seed.
Wow.
Arkansas may be feeling it right now.
That'd be crazy. That'd be obviously the biggest upset of the tournament.
No
doubt. There've been
some
three
big
or four
ones.
Upsets already. Yeah.
And one of the biggest ones was the four seed South Florida.
Yeah.
Taking out
Miami.
Florida. Yeah. And
Miami.
The fact that the four seed South Florida is coming to Austin to take on the number two national seed, the Texas Longhorns. The path has opened up for the Horns, and
nice.
I'm pretty happy about it. What about you, quickly, tonight? Anything?
NBA.
Woman's still
NBA
gone.
Playoffs. And my woman is out, so I'm
right.
A bachelor tonight.
You are. So you'll be watching Bucks-Nets. We'll get you a recap of that. Also, Nuggets-Suns. And we'll have the full 16-team bracket that is left for college baseball and tell you how Texas will match up with that. Still plenty of stuff, obviously, to get to this week. Appreciate John Reichel sitting in, doing a heck of a job for the All-American Rod Babers. I'm Kevin Dunn. We got Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis coming up next, followed by Instant Serious. Peace, y'all.